me at Exodus chapter 6 and verse 6. Exodus chapter 6 and verse 6. Therefore, say to the Israelites, God speaking to who? God speaking to who? To Moses. Very good. He's passing then that message down to the Israelites. I am the Lord. Just in case you're not sure, how many of you know that He is the Lord today? Some of you just need to be reminded of that this morning, that He is the Lord. I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. First cup, first I will statement. I will free you from being slaves to them. Second I will statement. Second cup. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm, with mighty acts of judgment. How will He redeem? By an outstretched arm and mighty acts of judgment. I will pull you out. My arm is consistent with my heart, and I will act accordingly. Three I will statements so far. Then I love this one. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Connected together. Will take you, and I will be your God is the fourth cup, known as the cup of praise. We'll unpack that in a moment together. Then you will know that I am the Lord, your God, who brought you out of that place. First cup is the cup of salvation. Second was the cup of deliverance. We did that 2 weeks ago. How do you know that there are some people that they would rather stay in chains than to move towards change? How many of you have people like that that are near you? They'd rather stay in bondage. They'd rather stay in captivity than go through the hard process of change. But the Scripture says we are being changed from glory to glory. And some of you might slip back into some of those old mentalities. You need to be delivered maybe from a victim mentality, a poverty mentality, a complaining spirit, a critical spirit, a cynical spirit, or an entitled spirit. And you and I need to confess to our God, we need His deliverance from our hurts, habits, and hang-ups. Number three, this is what we did last week. How many of you know that God wants to buy you back? That He sees value. We don't use the term redeem too often unless we're talking about all the tickets that come out of an arcade and then you take it and you go get three Laffy Taffys for it. You redeem those tickets for those worthless pieces of candy. And kids go, I got 47 tickets, and you get something that's worth a penny, but you redeemed it. Or maybe you redeem a gift card. I just saw a statistic the other day. I'm full of trivia, everybody. Saw a statistic the other day that only a quarter of all gift cards are redeemed. Isn't that amazing? Go look through your drawers. You might be able to pay your rent this month. Yeah. Will you take Best Buy for mortgage? You redeem to buy back, to restore, to reestablish. God gets our attention in the New Testament regarding this great word called poema, which means you are His masterpiece, you are His workmanship, and some of you need to believe that and live like you're His masterpiece. The places you go, the people that you are with, you need to start buying into the fact you have a divine destiny and a divine design. And so what will happen is the people of God, literally, that every year at the Passover time, celebrating the fact that He passed over us, didn't take us out, and He imposed judgment and death upon the enemy. But in contrast, He brought life to us, moved us from life or from death into life, from darkness into light. This is our story. This is our sojourn together with the Redeemer, who is God Himself. And what they would do is they would observe the three cups, the cup of salvation, the cup of deliverance, the cup of redemption. Jewish people still do it to this day during Passover time as part of the Seder. Then they pause between 3 and 4. And they take out their copy of Psalm 136. In fact, I want all of you to take out your copy of Psalm 136. If you're not familiar with the Bible, first of all, if you don't have one with you, it's the black book that's in front of you. We'll do some practice a little bit here. It might be the first time you're opening the Bible in a long time. The book of Psalms, if you're opening right to the middle, you'll probably land in the book of Psalms, P-S-A-L-M, Book of Psalms. Psalm 136, they pull this out. One would read and all the people would respond. Everybody with me on Psalm 136? Pastor Stephen is going to play rabbi for a moment. And he is going to bring the call, and you all, while standing together, let's stand up together. This is the half point of my sermon. We're going to stand together, and as Rabbi Rivera leads us, that is a good ring. Almost as good as Rev Rivera. Rabbi Rivera is going to lead us, and he's going to leave you hanging on the His loving doors, and I want you to bring a resonant cry that where you have been and where you are going, you remind yourself His love endures forever.
Amen. You guys ready to read? Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Give thanks to the God of gods. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. To Him who alone does great wonders, who by His understanding made the heavens, who spread out the earth upon the waters, who made the great lights, the sun to govern the day, the moon and the stars to govern the night. To Him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt and brought Israel out from among them, with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. To Him who divided the Red Sea asunder and brought Israel through the midst of it, but swept Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea. To Him who led His people through the wilderness. To Him who struck down great kings and killed mighty kings. Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan, and gave their land as an inheritance to His servant Israel. He remembered us in our low estate and freed us from our enemies. He gives food to every creature. Give thanks to the God of heaven.
Good stuff. Well done, everyone. We really should have had head coverings this morning. Do you know, if you're a New Testament believer, you can't help but stand on the foundation that is the Old Testament. Jesus came and He said, I didn't come to abolish the law, the Old Testament, the old way, but to fulfill it unto all righteousness. The Jewish people had complicated things far too much, and by the time Jesus had come onto the scene, first of all, they didn't believe that He was the Messiah. They still don't. Which when you read stories like this regarding the Psalms, we have to continue to pray for our Jewish friends that they will find Jesus. Because if they're people of the Word and the Spirit of God is hovering over the Word, He will find them and they will find Him. But by the time Jesus comes on the scene, some 612 or 13 different laws are being kept. And Jesus said, you've made it all very complicated. It all boils down to this. Love God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. You know it. It's one of the first things you ever learned. Deuteronomy has it recorded. It's one of the first things you ever learned. But you have attached all these other things to it. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the second is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. It's not new news, but let me repackage it. Let's go back to keep the main thing the main thing. And all the law and the prophets hang on this. And so the people read Psalm 136 together. Could you imagine the little Micah on his grandfather's lap as they all read together? And he goes, Bob, you already told us about this story. Your great-grandfather had been in captivity, right? Imagine the tenderness that's being passed down generation to generation. And they remind themselves that God has been faithful. And the word love here is a word that's not used very often in the Scriptures. It's a word in Hebrew called hesed or chesed. C-H-E-S-E-D, in some writings will leave off the C, but it's chesed. It's a loaded word of love, and it's, I love both and propositions, and it's a both and of it. It's love and loyalty. Another way that you would know it is loving kindness. It's a loving kindness of a God over His people that He will never let the people of God go, and He'll never let you go. That in the places that you find yourself, you need to remind yourself that He will never let you go. In fact, Matt Redman wrote a great song called Never Let Go. If you get a chance, go check it out. It's quite profound. And so what they do is they read that chesed together. They believe that there is a love that is love and loyalty. It's loving kindness that God brings into our lives that will never let us go. It's dogmatic. It's determined to just hang on to us even when we're wanting to let go. This is the Hallel. Have you ever heard of the word hallelujah? How many of you heard it before? For some, it has just become a mantra. It's become trite words. We don't even know what it means. To bring a hallelujah is not just stage filler. So you just go, hallelujah. We're moving on to the next thing. It's not a transition phrase. The word hallelujah is a Hebrew word built off of what's called the Hallel, the highest praise. And when they bring this fourth cup of praise, it's not just whether I feel like it or not. Not if the music's right. No, they bring it based upon the faithfulness of God, the loving kindness of God, that they bring the highest praise to a God that's worthy of it. Now, lest you think that it's only about music, it's not. It's about scripture. It's about journaling. It's about writing. It's about meditation. It's about, in some way, our heart cries out, I must say or tell of his great works. That's what praise is. Praise is not buttoned up. It's not shut down. It is shouted out in any way that I can find necessary and appropriate. It may or may not be accompanied by music. We just sang two songs together earlier. We'll go back to do that. But there are other functions of praise that need to take place within our lives. In fact, take out Psalm 136 one more time. You may have already put it away. Take out Psalm 136 one more time. And what I'd like you to do is take out your page if you haven't already been using that. And I want you to write a couple things of what's going on in your life right now. Psalm 136 is reminding you right now that his love endures forever. I want you to tell him in your own standpoint, how have you crossed over from captivity to freedom? How are some places in your life where you specifically need to write it down, make it plain that you remind yourself that where you are right now, it's not all perfect, but you remind yourself his love endures forever. Are you all with me? Go ahead and do that for just a few seconds. George is going to play some thinking music, because when we did it first service, it was deadly silent. How many know silence is deafening? And so it was a little bit awkward. We're going to give you some traveling music while you write for the next 60 seconds. Everybody okay in the house? All right, take a few moments. Guys are doing it. Cool. All right, I think that was enough time. Thank you, Lauren Daigle. Here's what God wants to remind you of this morning regarding the cup of praise, the Hallel. I will take you as my own. I will be your God. I will take you as my own. God wants to bring his loving kindness into your life. What's fascinating to me, and I don't know if you catch this, but if you're paying attention to the four cups, it's firstly, save me. Second, deliver me. Third is redeem me. And the fourth has this incredible shift to praise him. And you and I, if we never get to that shift, we will always move back to being an entitled, slave-minded person. Come on, somebody. If you never make that shift to think that the story is about you, it might start with your origin story is he saves you, delivers you, redeems you. But if he has, then it demands a response that we would praise him and give him our best praise. For he's deserving of it, not just generally speaking, but specifically, he is a God that is worthy of our praise. So I'm going to close this way. Just thinking about it from two different standpoints. First service was very disorganized in the way that I did this. I think we're more on target this service. A couple, 30 years ago probably at this point, when I first started driving, I worked for Cardone Industries in the summers. And while I was there working a summer job, I had to go from South Jersey to Philadelphia, North Philly. There's a route that we'd always take called the Roosevelt Boulevard. The Roosevelt Boulevard has about three lanes to it. And when you're a kid, 16, 17, 18 years old, how many of you know you drive like an absolute moron? How many of you are aware of that? Whatever your parents tell you, you drive the opposite and you add zeros onto your speed limit. I remember weaving in and out of traffic and passing people on the right, which apparently you're not supposed to do, and in the right lane. And I come around a bend, and there in my lane is a parked car. And I to this day, have no idea how my car froggered over to lane two and then back again. I really have no recollection. How many have moments like that? We just know it was definitively that God spared you. So my life, I think I'm remiss on this too often, but as I was preparing for today, I just couldn't help but think about it. It's one of those profound moments that literally was life-preserving. Like, I didn't deserve it. Gosh, I'm like, you know what, you're an idiot. Just go. God saw something different. In the places where that has been in your life, it's not just a passing glance. I just go, that happened. We have to understand when that miracles take place. When God steps in, saves a marriage, redeems a friendship, gets you out of debt, you don't have to declare bankruptcy. Whatever the moments are, we must give specific praise for where we have been and what He has done to get us to this point. But I also started thinking that it's very possible for some of you, you haven't seen God move in a while. Maybe it's your fault. Maybe there's other factors. I don't know. All I know is this. It's very possible that some of you today are between miracles. In fact, how many of you find yourself between miracles? You desperately need God to move. And I remember one of my first opportunities to be leading a youth ministry at a youth camp. And it's hot and smelly and sweaty. It's just awful stickiness. And after a long day of activities, we're sitting there in this old run-down tabernacle, and I'm trying to get my kids to bring praise and worship musically. Everybody stand up. Come on, we got to go. And I don't want to stand up. And I mostly don't want to stand up that time, not just because I'm tired, but I'm in pain. Ever since I was in high school, I've regularly seen a chiropractor. I've always had bad discs in my back since a little kid. There were times I'd be hunched over like an old man as a teenager. And it flared up big time after a day of activity. And I'm standing there, I'm trying to get my kids to worship. I'm going, I don't feel like worshiping. I was like praising God. I just want to sit and I want to take a siesta. And I don't want to do anything. Have you ever been to those types of moments? Maybe you were that way this morning, coming into church. Like, I'm feeling that right now, Pastor Scott. And you have moments where you just don't want to give to God yet. You're worn out, you're tired. All you can see is the need that's before you. And I remember finally, you know, standing up. And this song, ironically, was We Fall Down. I remember the old worship song. We fall down, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. I remember, ironically, God was kind of almost telling me, stand up. I'm like, but the song says we fall down. But it was as if I was leaning into my own understanding, leaning into my own desire to preserve comfort, leaning into just get through the moment. Rather than God had something different for me if I would stand up into it. I remember during that song, We Fall Down Standing, almost instantaneous, I lift my hands. I'm beginning to worship Him, praise Him, intercede for my kids that are there, and begin to pray for my own back situation. And as God is my witness, it was immediate that God began to let the walls fall. And just pain-free the rest of that night at least. I don't remember anything beyond that. But just in that moment, it was like God was just kind of reminding me. When you're between, we're in the midst of your own pain, that is the time to praise in advance. We too often bring our praise after. That's called thanking Him, which is necessary. I don't think we do that enough. But there are certain places where you find yourself now, right in the midst of present pain, you need to praise Him, because what God is wanting to do in the windshield of your life, your rearview mirror has hinted at what He wants to do to bring you hope, salvation, and expectation for the next places that He's taking you on. If He's brought you this far, there are certain places you need to know that your praise is not just in your song, it's in your lifestyle, it's in your testimony, that I think we had it on the screen even earlier, Lord, let my life praise You. Lord, let my life praise You. This is the story that I tell, in reminding myself of what You have done, and if You have moved to that point, then surely You'll not let me go, because Your loving kindness declares over my life the chesed that says over me, Your love, Your loyalty, Your loving kindness, You will never let me go. And so I can sing and shout and pray and believe and live in confidence. Isaiah 55 says it this way. You shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you. There'll be shouts of joy, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. And if the trees of the field are clapping their hands and celebrating creation, then the very people of God that are made in the very image of God must declare and shout the praises of God, to say, to tell, to declare, He is good and His love endures forever. Oh, my prayer for you is that you would know the chesed, love and loyalty, the loving kindness of God. Oh, no matter where you have been, that you will know that God will never let you go. For a moment, can you just shut yourself in for just a moment? And then all across this place, just bow your heads for a moment. Worship team, come help me, would you please? Just play. You did such a beautiful job playing as interlude and leading us as well so far. Thank you so much for your ministry this morning. All across this place, will you just, come on, just one more time, just think for specifically how good God has been in your life. Come on, maybe you have to go back a long time ago. Maybe it's gotten a little fuzzy or cloudy for you. Come on, can you latch on to a specific time that you go, I haven't talked about this in a while, God. But I thank you, I give you praise. Come on, just rend him your heart for a moment. Look through the rearview mirror for a moment. This is where we've been. We praise you. We're still standing. We're still here. After losses, after some difficulties, some pain, we're still here. Because of the loving kindness of our God. Now, come on, some of you need to just, in advance of what you need God to do, come on, to begin to just praise and ask Him, Lord, let the walls come tumbling down. Come on, Lord, would you do it again in my life? I'm reminding myself what you've been able to do. I'm confident. I've seen your might. I've seen your outstretched arm and your mighty acts on my behalf. Oh, God, would you do it again? I praise you even right now before the miracle, as I stand in the ravine. I stand in the tension between yesterday and tomorrow, right in the midst of present pain. I choose to praise you, for you're still worthy of it. Come on, all across this place, just begin to just lift your voices to Him. Come on. Come on, just begin to just tell Him, Lord, you're a great God. You're a loving God. You're Abba Father. You are my shield and my great reward. You are my Savior, my Redeemer. You are my friend. You are my strength. You are my song. I'm an overcomer because of you. I conquer because of you. You are my light in darkness. My life where there is present death and danger. You are my portion in this life and in the life to come. You're my all sufficiency. Oh, there is none like you. Incomparable, unsearchable, indescribable God. Are you playing Here I Am to worship? Are you playing Here I Am to worship? While you're still seated, let's all sing that together. Let's start with the chorus. So here I am to worship you. Come on.
So here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. Come on, lovely one, together, lovely, all together worthy, all together wonderful to me.
Let's sing the first verse together. Sing Light of the World.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see your beauty.
your beauty, God.
Beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life.
Nice job, guys. Come on, let's sing out together. So here I am to worship you, God.
So here I am to worship. Here I am.
Second verse in a moment. There's some of you, though, that desperately in your life right now, you need to shift from me to him. You need to look at him more than self. You need to look at him more than your circumstances. You need to look at him more than your lack. You need to look at him as being done more than some of the stuff in your life that's still undone. And as we shift to the second verse, I dare you to shift in your own imagination, in your heart, your will, and your spirit, that it's all about him. It is for him. The scripture says it is all because of him. It is in him, through him, for him, and because of him. Come on, so let's give him our highest praise as we sing together, King of all days.
And King of all days, oh so high.
They play gently. Come on, just worship him for a moment. Lord, there's a people that's standing in the midst of present pain, present expectation, daring to believe again of what you could do. There is a people that desire to see you move, oh God. And so we give you our best praise. We bring the shift from me to you this morning, God. Oh, we bless your name. Oh, we praise you. Oh, receive our prayer. Let mountains move. Oh, let the mountains move, oh God. Miracle working, God. Miracle working, God. Come on, if you have a particular need, would you just lift up your hands to Him? Come on, begin to just lift your voice to Him. Come on. Oh, how we praise You. Worthy are You. Your name is great. Your name is great. Oh, worthy, so worthy. A wave of your glory, God. A wave of your glory, God. Oh, we believe. Oh, we believe. Would you be seated for just a moment, for just a moment. As part of our praise, it's important for us to bring our gifts to God. Let me ask our ushers to come forward. As we honor God in our giving, in our tithes and our offerings this morning, have you know that when we give financially, it's praise. It's praise. Especially when you give in the midst of your own pain, your own poverty, your own lack. And God sees that you're inviting Him in. And you're declaring that you're confident the walls will come tumbling down, financially speaking. And I just feel impressed upon to just pray for you and your homes. Great servant and leader Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I pray for moms and dads here that they would set an example for their children in the way that they would save, live, and give. Speak against discord in each home. Whether it be related to curfew, finances, mission, morality, or ethics. Pray unity because of the Spirit of God and the bond of peace in every home. I pray each home there be rest, be life, be tranquility and calm because of your presence. Where there has been tumult, there has been chaos, replace it with your loving kindness. Now, Lord, bless these gifts. We honor you with them today. An extension of our heart, our gratitude, our thanksgiving, our praise. It's not disconnected. It's connected to these moments, God, where we give you our best. Let the Hallel, the highest praise, be part of even our financial giving. Let it be commensurate with our hearts. In the name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen and amen. Would you give a look and a listen to Psalm 56 as you give this morning? Would you one more time stand up together? Let me dismiss you. Have a great, great day, everybody. Let's sing our way out. Let's sing. I don't think we've sang it yet today. Great are you, Lord. Let's sing our way out with a final shout, a song of praise. But you are dismissed. Have a great, great day, everybody. If you're sticking around for two more minutes, let's sing together. You give life and you are love. Enjoy your day, everybody. Try to stay cool. See ya.